Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And boy, if you weren't here for the pre-show, you really, really missed out. We could have done a whole aviation podcast.
Oh, we
and
should.
You would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, aviation podcast.
You really missed out.
Yes, aviation podcast. By someone who has absolutely no clue about it.
But the only thing you need to know from the pre-show is on BTN, nobody can hear you stream.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, so this is the big show. That could have been the big sky show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll just... yeah.
We'd have to record from Montana, though, Jeff.
That's true.
Let's all meet in Butte. I know a good hotel there.
Oh, great. All right, BTN road trip. Yeah. Anyhow, so that brilliant idea came from Tom. Tom, how are you?
I'm great. I'm full of brilliant ideas today, apparently. Things are going well. It's starting to feel like spring, so that's a good thing. And I'm still hobbling around on a bad knee, but this time next week, I should be in post-surgery and feeling better. They get to cut up my knee next week. Not cut it up, I guess.
I hope not.
Arthroscope my knee. Poke a couple of holes around my knee and fix my meniscus. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know, on one hand, holy crap, they're going to punch holes in you and stick stuff inside and do things.
Yeah,
on the other hand, holy crap, we have the medical science where we can do this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
just think about
amazing.
It. I don't know. 70 years ago, 100 years ago, something like that, we probably couldn't do that. Or you would have died if they tried.
Right. I don't... Yeah. I'm guessing with this kind of injury 70 years ago, they would have said, well, you know, so you're going to limp for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and they couldn't have done arthroscopic surgery because there were no cameras small enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's amazing.
So if it's something they could have addressed, it would have been major surgery because they'd have to just like completely open up your leg around your knee.
And you'd be laid up for 6 months.
Yeah.
And the thing I learned was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And then you turn into RoboCop.
Right. I can get a bionic knee. The $6 million man.
Could also.
Well, the funny thing I learned was I had a similar surgery about 15, 16 years ago on my other knee. And that time it was arthroscopic. They poked three holes in my knee. Mm-hmm. And this time, apparently, it's only two holes. So the technology has gotten 33 or 50% better, depending on how you look at it. That's the way I'm looking at it. They only need two holes now.
That's awesome. Fewer holes.
No jokes.
I could have said something now and I stopped myself.
Yeah, as I was speaking that, I realized I was probably going to get
I'm trying
comments.
To be more self-aware and more sensitive about
good
the
job,
jokes
Jeff.
That I make.
Very good job, Jeff.
But we have already two show titles and we only have introduced Tom.
That's
two,
true.
Two holes are better than three.
Okay, now we have three to show time.
Now we have... Tom is on a roll. All right, Patrice, I can't wait to see what show titles come out of you today. How are you?
I think I'm good. I think I've contributed enough already because the whole pre-show about flying was all brought to you by me finally deciding of committing to like flight school and getting a license and actually starting to learn a ton of super interesting stuff. And so that was the pre-show basically. And Tom's
awesome.
Very good experience with skydiving. So that helped.
Yeah, maybe when you get your license, I can come to Vienna and you can drop me over the city and
I'm not sure I'm allowed to, but I sure.
Well, actually, if you did do that, it would
probably not.
If you did do that, it would be your last flight, probably.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't know, would have to look into where and how and under which conditions this allowed, but definitely not over the
Yeah.
city. I can tell you that. There's a controlled airspace over our city, over Vienna,
Yes,
so
I bet.
as well there should be.
yes.
Yep. All right, well, since we're here, maybe we should do some tech stories.
Tech
Do we
stories?
have to?
I mean, well, we don't have to. We can do anything we want.
Okay.
No one is the boss of us.
Which one do
So,
we?
Tom has the first story.
Okay. So this is an ongoing story with a new twist. It's about the guy in England, Wales, who lost his Bitcoin wallet or lost the drive that held his Bitcoin wallet some years ago. I can't remember exactly how long ago it was. And his story has popped up a few times. And basically, it ended up in landfill. He threw it away, or somehow it got thrown away and got hauled off to the landfill. So it's been an ongoing saga about how he was going to recover this hard drive with what is now estimated to be $800 million worth of Bitcoin. So the
Wow.
latest twist in the story is he has offered to buy the landfill. And I think it's because they're closing the landfill. You know, it's filled up, so they were planning to close it. So his idea was to buy it and then spend however long searching through the landfill for his hard drive with his lost Bitcoin wallet. So the tech angle is, even if he found it, what are the odds you could recover the data off of it? And it's a hard drive. It's not an SSD, apparently. It's a spinning
Well,
drive.
this would be a great test case for just how good Drive Savers really is. Because they've recovered data from hard drives that were like at the bottom of the Amazon River for
Really?
an extended period of
Burnt
time,
to a crisp.
burned to a crisp. So, yeah, I could see Drive Savers taking this one on
I would
for a fee, of course.
for a certain percentage of what's on it.
Right.
It's like I think it would depend a little bit on what it is next to, right? If there's
Right.
like a strong magnet or like some radioactive source of sorts, yeah, I'm not so sure.
Oh, that's a good point. So it's magnetized. So potentially water and dirt and that kind of stuff wouldn't be a huge problem necessarily,
I mean, over
unless,
time, maybe, but not
yeah.
immediately at least.
Right. And then to get
Chemicals
a,
could be a problem.
oh, that's true. Chemicals would probably kill it.
Yeah.
And the way those Drive Saver things work is they just go segment by segment, trying to read as many of the sectors off the drive that they can. So not only would you have to have a pretty high hit rate of successfully reading the sectors, you'd have to read the ones that had the Bitcoin wallet. And I'm sure every sector is incredibly important. If you're missing even a handful of sectors, the wallet is probably no good.
I would assume so.
I don't know the file format of a Bitcoin wallet, an encrypted file like that,
It's
but
encryption. I mean, the format, the wallet. The important thing is the keys, encryption keys.
right.
So that is the wallet itself is more. I mean, the wallet itself is nothing. It's just the keys that give you then access to what's stored on the blockchain.
And do you know what kind of file format they use? If you
It's
looked at the file, if it was unencrypted.
it's an encryption key, so
Okay.
it's a key like that. That's what you store in. I mean, yeah, that's what you store usually in your wallet. You store your key basically. The wallet itself, or
not.
the money itself, is in the blockchain. So you have it stored, it's visible
Oh,
on the
right.
blockchain that belongs to you, and if you have the key, you could transfer it. More or
So
less.
what, yeah, you wouldn't have to recover the blockchain because that's public,
That's
right?
public, yeah. But you need the key, otherwise you can't do anything.
So then a related story I didn't include was that somebody had the idea of creating a meme coin associated with this project where you could buy the meme coin to
Oh, of course.
invest
Oh my
in this
God.
adventure,
Yeah.
and it would only pay off if you found the hard drive.
Sounds like an NFT.
Yep, maybe I should just start selling Jeff coins.
Jeff, yeah, you should absolutely. It's no, it's pant no
Yes,
pant coins.
yes.
No pant coins. It's like, and then you can buy the Gulf of No Pants, right?
Then you can buy the Gulf of No Pants.
Yes.
Yep. And everyone will think they're super cool because they're investing in NPCs and
No pants, coins,
Oh,
NPCs.
that's so funny.
I would invest in NPCs. It sounds cool, and it's
sounds
close
super
enough to
cool.
NFT, right?
Yeah, it's like that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, you got to find a good marketing hook for it, and I think NPCs, that'll do it. Walking around wearing a shirt that says I'm an NPC, and
And then you put all the keys on a hard drive and throw it in the landfill near your house.
Yeah, there's an idea.
Be a treasure hunt.
What better place to store them?
But I mean, to be fair, that is incredibly smart. Think about it. We have been hunting down hidden treasures for millennia, probably, maybe
True.
longer. It's like, oh, the lost Nazi gold, whatever, some pirate ship, whatever. We've been constantly looking for stuff like that. So this is
Captain
no different.
Kidd's treasure. Yeah, this could
Yeah.
be the 21st century Captain
Exactly.
Kidd's treasure.
Yeah, I mean that is literally, that's literally true. That reminds me of an episode of crap, what was the show's name? The Silicon Valley. Where like where they talk about like those coins and that like the one of the, what was it, his Hanneman, I think. He had like created five different coins and all of them were worthless except for one, and then he like had the thing, like the key basically in his pant pocket and throw them away or something.
Oh, right. Oh, that's fantastic. And again, we come back to pants.
Yes, true.
So I think if you did a coin like that for lost treasure, that would make Jeff a pirate, right? 21st century
Pirate, no pants.
Bitcoin pirate.
Jeff the Bitcoin Pirate.
I love
Wow, we
this.
have so many good show titles today.
Captain No Pants.
Nah.
Anyway, I can't imagine being this person. I would understand the anxiety associated with losing a hard drive with that much money on it.
Yeah. I mean, there was also the guy who had put it on like a hardware wallet and then forgotten his passkey, I think.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, had only a certain number of tries.
That
And
would
he
be
hasn't run
worse.
out of tries
He hasn't,
yet.
yeah, he hasn't dared to try again. Because if he does, if he like, yeah, it's gonna be, it's gone. And on the like on the blockchain, gone is gone. Like, no way to recover. Well, no way that we know of to recover. Let's put it this way.
That feeling would probably be like the time I was with a family member who couldn't remember their last pass password, and they had one more try.
Yeah, kind of like
It's like, oh, don't do it if you're not sure.
Yeah.
Don't do
Yeah.
it. Don't
Yeah,
guess.
there are certain passwords that you really, really need to make sure you never forget
Or lose.
or lose. And yet, all the
People
time,
do.
stuff like this happens.
Yeah,
That's my password wallet is the one password I have written on a piece of paper in multiple locations.
because
Yeah,
we The human.
Post-it note on my display so I never forget.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Under your keyboard is also a good place to hide them.
Under the keyboard.
I'm just saying. Or like if you have like a drawer next to it, like the top drawer,
Right.
that's also a good
Yeah,
place.
that's a good place for it.
Yeah. No, it's like human beings. Like we never expect the unlikely thing to happen. We never expect something to happen to us. That's kind of
Yes.
in our nature. We kind of any information about that. I heard about that somewhere recently. Any information, any negative information like that, we literally filter out. So that's why.
Yep. So, I guess we're doing a road trip to the UK with our metal detectors, and we're hitting the dump. Yeah. All right. Top that, Patrice.
That's a tough one. Do I go? I think I'll. Do I go with a who? What HP bot? Yeah, let's go with the HP bot.
Oh, I'm so glad we're going to have this discussion.
I almost talked about Duolingo's like mascot that I killed, which is also a very interesting story. But no, let's talk about this one. So, remember the human AI pin, the company like last
Yes.
year was super hyped and then kind of combusted. There have been predictions out there where people said, I think they were looking like a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, they were looking for an investor or saying, yeah, somewhere north of 750 million, maybe a billion or two. Like that's what they're looking for. And I think, was it Gruber? Someone said, yeah, I mean, they're gonna be way under. Well, he was right, of course. Now to who do you guess? I mean, you've seen the story. Who do you think bought that? Microsoft, OpenAI, Meta, Apple. What do
Gee, Patrice, that's a really good question. Who
you
did buy that?
think? Well, it was a old, not super successful recently company called, I think it's like two letters. It's like an H and a P, like Hotel Papa. Like that company, HP, yeah, that one. They bought it. It's a new unit at HP. They will focus on implementation of AI in the devices. So in the future, your printer will tell you that the paper's jammed.
Oh, that's lucky, or that you're out of cyan.
Yes. Hey, you're out of cyan. Or no, you cannot put that cartridge into this printer. Nope. So,
Yeah, the sad thing is that's probably exactly how they will use
yeah. Or
this.
it looks at your print and it says, "Wait, you're printing out whatever theater tickets? Nope, not printing that. Sorry."
Right.
Or you or
It
your
only
the
works.
manuscript to your book and it's like, wait, you want to publish
Oh.
that drivel? No, sorry, not printing
It only works when you don't actually need it.
So, yes.
So when Humane unveiled their AI pin, at that time I was looking at what they were doing, and I said, this company, and I'm paraphrasing myself, but this company is not looking to bring a product to market. They're looking to generate some technology
Yes.
and get enough hype to get bought.
You
And
literally
that's
said
what
it.
they're.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yes, you are
And
right. And by the
yeah.
way, the product, the your AI pin, it's not gonna go anywhere. HP is literally winding that down.
Yeah, they're bricking
Right.
them.
Yes, the pins. Yes, the pins get bricked in what, a month or two?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
they didn't even last a year,
No, a
right?
little bit more. It was late 2023 when they
Oh, it was
announced the thing.
2023.
Yeah, so a little bit more. But by early 2024, it was already pretty obvious that that wouldn't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, so they planned far enough ahead for a purchase of the company, not far enough ahead to go to market. And when it became clear that they weren't going to get bought before going to market, I feel like they scrambled to get something out the door, and it wasn't even an MVP. It was just what they could get out the door. There was never a long-term plan for supporting the product, and
So basically, it was part of their interview process with HP.
maybe. No, I
I mean,
think.
Yeah.
the big payout, I mean, they got paid, right? They got hired by HP and they got a
Yeah,
bunch
I
of
mean, someone did
bonuses.
get some. I mean, I don't know. Would have to look it up, like how many investors they already had and what like the individuals even own still, because a lot of the times, yeah, the people who
That's a
founded
good
it
point. Did
don't have a lot of shares.
the investors sign off on this plan? It's like, hey, we're gonna get a bunch of smart people together, and our job is to get acquired. It's not gonna be $2 billion,
No, I mean,
but we figure in a year somebody would be dumb enough to acquire us. I wonder if the investors bought into that plan.
no, I mean that. I think I said that when Jeff made his prediction. That is literally the plan for a lot of startups. Sorry, for a lot of not for startups, for a lot of investment companies. They invest in companies, and the plan is usually, with some rare exceptions, an exit. So at some point, they will want to sell their shares to someone. To someone else for, of course, more way more money than they invested. Like that's the whole, otherwise they wouldn't do that. So that's always the plan. I think the diff
But usually the plan is we have a product, it's going to make some money and we'll be
We're gonna grow.
attractive.
Yeah,
The question is,
we'll grow, and then at some point we will be so attractive that someone will buy us. That's usually the plan, and then the investors will basically get their exit, their buyout. Jeff, I think I don't agree. I don't think that was your plan. Or that was the approach. I think they literally thought, hey, I mean, it was a half-baked product, and I think they knew that. But a lot of startups have that. Like most startup products are when they start out half-baked, and they never end up exactly how what they planned. I mean, there's some very famous examples of companies that started with like a completely different thing. I mean, what was it? Justin TV turned into, what was it? Spotify, I think? Something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
something I might have thrown together two different companies, but like something like that. So I just remember Justin TV was originally, what was it, Discord? I don't remember. Like something weird.
I had forgotten all about Justin TV, which
Yes,
is
that
funny
was
because
big.
they had offices in Denver.
Yeah. I mean, and they were big for a little while. No, it's like that. Most startups don't exactly win with the thing that they invented. I mean, to a
Hey,
degree, even Apple.
Intel was a memory company a
Yeah,
long time ago.
even Apple to maybe lesser degree. Even they had to change a little bit their approach.
Well,
A little bit more
they changed
distinct.
their approach a lot, right? They
Yeah,
went from being
over
Apple
time,
Computer to
yes.
Apple Phone Company.
Yeah, that's true, over time especially. But even in the early days, like that
Oh,
wasn't originally all the plan. No, it's like I think literally they had built a product, and they were hoping it would be I think they knew it was half baked, but they were hoping it would hold up enough and could generate enough hype that they could sell to someone and then build out the full thing. That was kind of the idea. The problem that they ran into was it got hyped, so they were successful in that, but it kind of, I think they overshot a little bit. It got too much, and then it kind of fell apart because people started looking into what they were doing and started to figure out that that was kind of all
It's crap.
scrap and wasn't working half of the time, and was kind of fake half of it. And they were like, it wasn't even AI. It was literally someone had like gone to a website and just like manually automated all the clicks and whatever. So it wasn't really what they promised they were delivering. And so it combusted. And I think at that point they were like, okay, shit, we should sell before it all goes away. So they started, okay, we should maybe sell now while it's still hot. But by the time they actually closed now, they were down to 116 million, which is still a lot of money, to be fair. But as I said, I don't know how much the founders actually got and how much investors took out.
Yeah, it depends on how, like you said, how much investment there was. But I think it's also that principle, never create demand before you're ready with the supply, which is another way of saying don't release it too early, because they were somewhat successful, like you said, in generating the hype. And if it worked ha even halfway reasonably well, it might have gained some traction, but it was just so early. So they created the hype and then set expectations really high. People got it, said this was crap, and they died. Whereas if they said, this is version one, it's pretty good, we have a vision over the next 5 years to do ABC, maybe it would have turned out differently.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm trying to in parallel figure out what the shareholder situation was like. But they had definitely done some investment rounds, so I'd assume not so much. Yeah, like Sam Altman, Tiger Global, SoftBank, Qualcomm, Microsoft, LG, Volvo, Salesforce, Microsoft, OpenAI. Like, okay, you can expect that they didn't have a lot of shares left. I
Looks
mean,
like
to
they
be fair,
raised.
sometimes, whatever, 5% of a really big thing is still a lot of money.
But it looks like they raised 230 million.
Yes, originally in 2023.
And they got sold for 160, so that's not a good exit.
116 even.
16, right?
Yes,
So
yeah.
they lost,
Yeah.
investors lost $100 million.
Poor. Sometimes. As a, but that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think all that much came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess HP's big win out of this, hopefully a big win, is a talent acquisition,
Pretty much.
because they're not really interested in the hardware, and the technology underneath the hardware was kind of a boondoggle anyhow.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So
That's why
it
it's
has
only
to be
worth
for the
116.
talent.
That's why it's only worth 116 million. Like it's some talent, maybe some IP that they apparently had, and that's about it.
That's a lot of 116 million is a lot of money to hire a few engineers.
I
And
mean,
unless it's part of some really big money-making initiative at HP, which I have a hard time believing.
No, I mean you can be damn sure that I mean given who was invested and given what was going on, I'm pretty sure HP looked very close at what was actually the value and what they actually I mean with investments like this, you always have to think about, okay, HP now has to make at least 116 million plus certain percentage out of this to make it worth the investment, right? I mean that they are now the they bought it. They own it. They're now the investor basically. So they have to get more than 116 million out of it long term or
Right,
longer
right.
term to make it worth it.
So it's they have to make a lot more than 116 million to justify the
Yes.
purchase. Normally when you're making a pitch like this in a corporation like HP, you got to show returns of, 2 to 10x of what you paid for it. Otherwise, it's not worth their time. And I mean, I'm sure HP and every company has made acquisitions like this with some grand plan to, triple the returns of the investment, and they all fell apart.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what.
yeah, I mean, sometimes, or they don't pan out exactly how they want it.
Yeah, I mean, some work and some don't. It's just like investing in startups, right? One out of 10 maybe goes. It's the same with acquisitions.
But I mean, it's not always easy to figure out like what the outcome is because as I said, sometimes it's talent, sometimes it's IP that you could maybe sell down the line or use it for something and it turns into a third thing or whatever. So it's not always a clear picture. But the point is more the higher the number, the more mess you have to get out of it again. So there's always a point where you say, well, that's why those numbers are set because it's like, okay, what do we think it's worth that we can basically still make money out of it? And of course, like there's two, at least minimum two parties involved in this negotiation. There's the company who's buying it, who wants it, of course, for as cheap as possible. And there's the people who are selling, who want, of course, a maximum like price possible and somewhere you meet.
Right. I mean, if you look at what HP said, this investment will rapidly accelerate our ability to develop a new generation of devices that seamlessly orchestrate AI requests both locally and in the cloud.
And that's probably the
I'm not
value
sure
that
what
they
that
bring.
means.
That's probably no, but I think that's the value that they bring. I mean, HP wants to get into the AI game, as I assume. And I mean, as much a failure as the AI pin was, they did build a product, ship it, and get people excited about it. So, I mean, there is some value in that for sure. Might have been a bust, but they shipped it. At least for a little while, it looked like it might be really cool.
I wish my company was so bad it only got a $116 million acquisition.
Yeah, that's so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, if only.
If only. I mean, there were certain companies get 46 billion and you still don't know why, but
Yeah, and then
okay.
you could take that money and buy a landfill in Wales,
Oh, there's an idea.
Oh, this sounds like a great investment.
That's an awesome investment. Yeah, please, disclaimer, please don't take investment advice from us.
Yeah, definitely not.
Hey, I brought a story today.
Wow, nice. Let's
I
go.
yeah, I don't think it'll be a long discussion.
Famous last words.
I know, famous last words. This is really a confirmation of something that we already knew about the gaming industry. I know, kind of crazy. I'm bringing a gaming story. If Ben was here, he would have some great insights for us, no
Yes.
doubt. But
So you're
it's, okay,
talking
so
to
here,
us gamers
yes. So here's the gist of it. The whole idea that the game console wars ended already.
now?
I mean that's a thing people have been talking about for a while. Xbox's game or a boss, the VP or whatever in charge of that, he did an interview just recently where he actually confirmed that's true, and that Microsoft is not interested in converting people over to their consoles anymore. They just want to have their software everywhere, their games everywhere. So part of the quote from the interview where he'd been talking about how of course he'd like to have everyone on an Xbox because that's where you make more money. But then he adds to that, here's the quote, but there are people, whether it's their libraries on a PlayStation or Nintendo, whether it's they like the controller better, they just like the games that are there, meaning they like what they already have on their own console. They don't want to switch. And he adds to that, I'm not trying to move them all over to Xbox anymore. So he straight up says there with that line, the console game war is over. And the interesting thing tied into that is that apparently the only company that still thinks that they're in a console game war is Sony.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, what does that tell you? It's like they're seeing that they can make more money by providing the games everywhere than they can make by selling their own boxes. Doesn't mean that they don't,
Software.
that doesn't mean that they don't
So,
sell their boxes. Like they can continue.
right.
There's fans of Xbox and they will probably continue being fans of Xbox. But there's more money to be made in being everywhere than there is to get people to switch. The cost of acquisition for someone to switch is way too high.
In the plans, here's plan A. We keep everything exclusive to Xbox, and here's how much money we'll make in hardware and software. Or we let the games be ported to all the popular platforms, and here's how much money we'll make from hardware and software.
It's the same thing with like exclusive TV shows and whatever. There is a point where the exclusivity just doesn't do anything. And that's the point where you then, where a lot of networks and movie studios and whatever, they're like, okay, let's just make it available everywhere else. Like make some money that way.
It's just weird when a company sells both hardware and software, it's always a weird, it's like Apple porting iTunes to Windows.
Which they did.
Yeah, which made total sense. If you want to sell iPods, you need iTunes on Windows.
But it also tells you a second thing. The console market seems to be a mature market at this point. Because if Xbox could get I mean could get any advantage over the others, they would. Like if they could figure out a way to say, hey, like, and it's not just, hey, we have a really cool exclusive game, because that clearly doesn't work, but if we could say, well, we have a really cool exclusive game and we get all these other cool things that only work if those two come together, like our game and our hardware, that might have worked. But there's not a lot of I guess there's not a lot of differentiation anymore between the consoles. They're all
And the
working well.
consoles, yeah.
They're all mature products. They hopefully don't crash and burn anymore. So the controllers work well. So it's mostly a taste preference at this point, and a preference what people, where they have their titles already, what they've invested in.
Yeah, the differentiation is in the software in the game, not the hardware. But it is interesting, Apple's thing is by controlling both the software and the hardware, we can create a better product.
Yes.
This
Which,
is sort of antithetical to that.
which you could argue, I mean, we're not talking Apple, but you could argue even for Google the same way. Like, it's at this point,
Does it matter?
doesn't matter that much anymore. They're mature platforms. There's still some advantages that you can get out of it, but you have to also, they have to be things that people care enough about to switch. The cost of switching is high, and a lot of people
Right.
really don't want to.
If an engineer says, because I control the software stack and do the hardware, you get these cool features, but they're not cool features to
Yeah,
you,
it's
who
like,
cares?
oh, our CPU runs 10% better than the other. It's like, yeah, but the game doesn't really need that. So, woohoo. Like, that's a problem. Even if the game needs it, but it's like, but there's other games that are equally as fun and don't have that. Like, so big deal. Yeah, if it was like, hey, like we can do, I don't know, VR games and the others can't, and our games are awesome and we have a really cool VR headset and whatever, and only we can do this combination of the software, so the game with the box. Okay, now we're talking.
I can do 8K video at 200 frames per second on the Xbox, and you can only get 60
Yeah.
frames per second on a PlayStation, or whatever,
Maybe.
something that would actually make a difference.
Yeah, maybe 30 frames. I
No,
think at this point, even the 200 frames, most people don't care
I'm
about.
just, yeah, I just made it
But if
up.
it was really, I mean, really crappy versus really good, then people might eventually switch. You have to overcome that, I mean, the investment and the inertia of people that they don't really want to switch because it's different. Some
If
people
it's not two
look for it.
2x better, people aren't going to switch,
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, yeah.
Well, and if they have to rebuy all their games, even if it is 2x better,
Yeah, I mean, do they have to? No, because they can keep their old console, but they might want to buy, I mean, they will might want to invest more in the platform, so they might will buy more games in general simply, because
Yeah,
buying
I'm just
the
I am
hardware and then only having one game is kind of pointless.
It is surprising that in the world of gaming hardware, there aren't some tricks, some unique hardware configurations with chips and system design that would have some visible benefit to customers that would make them want to switch. But it, like you said, it seems like they're all entrenched in their audiences. And if you've been using Xbox, you're going to stick with Xbox. If you've been using PlayStation, you're going to stay with it now.
They've tried. I mean, it's not that they haven't tried, especially Microsoft. I mean, what was the motion sensing thing called that they
Oh
had?
yeah, connect,
Kinect, thank
connect.
you. Yeah, that, I mean, they've tried. They've tried streaming. They've tried subscriptions. They've tried a lot of different things. But I
I
guess
still,
they're running into, well, people just don't want to switch.
I think it's still funny to think every time I hear Xbox, I think about the fact that their roots are in the hardware team from Web TV. You remember
Yeah.
Web TV?
Yes.
I had forgotten
Microsoft
about
bought them.
Web TV. Wow.
Microsoft bought them not to continue Web TV, but to get a hardware design team that helped with
A
Xbox.
example of they probably bought the people and the IP, but really they wanted the people and it made them more money, so it was fine. So yeah, good story, like it.
So, well, there you go. And see, we didn't talk that long about
Yeah,
it.
you did.
But what we do need to talk about now is where people can find the links to everything that we are talking about. And Patrice, I want to highlight your efforts in making this so much better than it used to be. So thank you for that. And do you mind telling people about the chat?
Not at all. So we have a really cool live chat and live streaming system. No switching required. Literally just go to live.britishtechnetwork.com, any browser. We're doing the Microsoft thing. It's available anywhere. Just point your browser there. Somewhat modern browser would be recommended, so don't use Netscape. I think that's gonna fail. It doesn't do live video and all of that. But if you have a modern browser, not a problem. Live.britishtechnetwork.com. There is our live stream. We record Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, for this very show. That's when we record this very show. We have to figure out when that is in your time zone because that's all kinds of messed up and difficult. But there's tools for that. Just ask Google. Or ChatGPT or Apple Intelligence or whatever, like they will all tell it. Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. If you want to learn more about all the awesome things that Apple introduced this week, so it's been a week. And every Friday, by the way, we do that. And then if you're on the page, you're watching us live. There's literally a live chat right next to it. It's very easy, no registration, nothing. It assigns an auto-generated name. Sometimes people like it, sometimes people don't. I've seen some. There was one complaint earlier where they didn't like it, and couldn't be arsed to change it. That's what they said. So even though it's super easy to change, up top purple button, click on it, change name, pick your name. It's like super easy.
Oh, Patrice, they actually said that we ruined their day.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I know.
So yeah. Okay, we probably also ruined Microsoft today, so who knows? I mean, they lost a lot of money on AI pin and also the console game war. So sad day.
We're on a roll. We're just screwing over everyone's day.
Yeah, while we're at it. Anyway, like we have a transcript of the live chat, so if you're listening to this in your podcast player, on the website, on Spotify, wherever you find that, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, there's a calendar on that page. You select the date, and whatever date you select, you will see the transcript for that day. So highly recommend Thursdays and Fridays because that's when the show has happened. If you pick today's date, February 20th, 2025, you will see what we talked about today.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you for doing that. And I know you don't see the efforts that you put into this, modernizing our system as a big deal, but it is. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
All right. So let's do some cool things. Who has the first cool thing?
That will be Tom because I haven't even decided what I want
Hey, I'm first. You're right.
All right.
Hey. How did I know that?
I got the hint when you said I couldn't find anything. So
Then.
we'll talk a long time about this cool thing and
Thank
give
you.
Patrice some time. My cool thing this week is a book. It's a boring book, just a book, not any high technology, but actually it's not a boring book. It's really interesting. It's called How to Hide an Empire by a guy named Daniel Immerwahr. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. It was released, I think, about 5, 6 years ago. And it's a different take on the history of the United States that focuses on what in America we call territories and what other countries call colonies of an empire. And, I'm an American. I grew up in, was educated by the American education system, thought I knew history. But I found this take to be really interesting. Again, it's focused on territories and the American version of empire. And I'm only about two-thirds of the way through it, but it goes through Hawaii, Alaska, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Marshall Islands, the effect of different wars and different decisions and sort of how Americans perceive the US over time. It's a very interesting read.
Huh. That's kind of cool. All right. I'm instapapering this so I remember to go back and check it out.
And
Cool.
I utilized our fantastic American library system to get an ebook of this at no charge.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is actually really good, the library system in the US.
Yeah, that is
Even more
cool. For now.
surprising that so
For
far, that's
now.
true. It probably stopped being
Right.
good recently, but yeah. Yeah.
The one thing I hate
Also
about our
tells you one thing, it seems to be not enough people actually use it.
Right. Well, the one thing I don't like about our system is our county library system does not track your borrowing history.
That's
So I
weird.
can't go back and look at what I borrowed, and I looked it up. They did it for basically political reasons.
Yeah,
Yeah,
probably
there's
a
a lot of
privacy.
library districts doing that.
It's probably a
Yeah.
privacy thing at this point. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
Right. Yes.
there was a point a few years ago where federal agencies that were looking for excuses
Yeah.
started requesting the lending histories
Yes.
from libraries. And so a bunch of libraries are like, okay, we are
We
not going
don't.
to have that,
Yeah.
so we can't turn anything over.
Exactly. What you
Yeah.
don't have, you can share. That's a basic law in anything privacy related. What's not there cannot be shared.
That's right. I don't
Or
have it. I
stolen.
can't share it with you.
Yeah, or
Yeah.
stolen.
All right.
Too bad
So,
though.
how to hide an empire. Nice.
Very
Cool.
cool. I'll check that out.
Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing is something that Jeff, you sent to me. Slightly, maybe a little bit political, but remember MapQuest? Does anybody remember MapQuest?
Right. See, that's like burying the lead. Did you
Yes.
know MapQuest still exists?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they have built, after some recent changes in the name of a certain golf, they have built an entire site where you can basically have your own map with your own name for that very body of water. And I picked the Gulf of Xolva because, and
And it's a joke that I get now.
that's a joke that Jeff now gets. Yeah, but you can have whatever you want. Gulf of No Pants, Gulf of Skydiving, Gulf of Tom's Chocolate Cake, whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, it's like you can literally name. I mean, since we're into the silly season of we're just gonna rename stuff because we can or because we want to, why not? Here's your chance. Just pick your
That's
name
pretty
and you
funny.
can refer. I mean, at this point, it's fair game. Anybody can refer to it as anything they want. I saw Denmark, for example, renamed it to Gulf of Denmark because why not? The
That's
Vikings were
really
there
funny.
originally, so.
And
That's super funny.
the Kiwis renamed the Pacific Ocean the Ocean of New Zealand or something.
Yeah, because it's that. I mean, at this point, we're like, sure, why not?
Yeah, sure, why not? You can download the map image that you make, which
Yes,
is great.
I did that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
That's an awesome
Good
pick. I'm glad you picked that. All right, so then my cool thing, I'm bringing a TV series on Amazon Prime,
Ooh.
Three Body.
Oh.
So Netflix, they had a lot of success with their 8-episode series called Three Body Problem, which is a westernized version of Chinese sci-fi. And And it did well, but it was 8 episodes, and they did a lot of changes to make it work better for Western country audiences. Watching the Chinese version is really fascinating. It's 30 episodes instead of 8, and so instead of changing the characters from the book, it leaves the characters as they were, and so you get a much longer path to follow to get to the same ending. And I thought it was done really well, and it was fascinating getting to watch an entire series that has high production values that comes from a country and a culture that because of where I am, I don't get to have a lot of exposure to that. And there's some great photography. There's good music. I think they did a wonderful job with the storytelling. And it's also interesting to see how elements that are very common in a lot of storytelling that comes from that culture play into this as well, because there's a lot of philosophical discussion that goes along with the stories. And it's interesting to see how other cultures and other countries are portrayed. Like seeing, because I mean, the thing in Three Body, you ultimately have this whole international thing going on. So the primary leader through all of this in the story is China, because
Of
it's a
course.
Chinese thing,
Yeah.
of course. And so you have the United States and Japan and the EU and just all these other political bodies that are part of this, and seeing how they are portrayed is just really interesting.
Yeah, because they're being portrayed from a different perspective, right?
Yes. And I thought it was really interesting. But even without that, I think the way they told the story is really, really compelling. And yes, it takes 30 episodes. It unfolds slowly. So if you're looking for that fast-paced action-packed thing like you get with the Netflix version, you don't have that. There's definitely action in
Just
here.
yeah, just watch it and on 2x.
Yeah. And it is subtitled
Good.
because it's in Japanese. Every now and
Chinese.
then there, or excuse me, Chinese, thank you. And there are places where English is spoken, and
Let me
you'll still
guess,
want the
they
subtitles
also have
on.
subtitles. Yes, I was guessing.
Yeah, because a lot of the people that are speaking, that it's English is not a language that they normally speak. So I think some of these people, they're just doing phonetics.
They sounded out English basically, yeah.
Yeah, and some of these people, it's clear that they speak English, but it's like not even a second language. Like it's a third or fourth language. But it's done really well. I really enjoyed it. And 30 episodes, and apparently season 2 is in the works. So I'm
Nice.
assuming that will go into the second book in the series, whereas the Netflix series, it took the first book and apparently some stuff from the second book and put it together. So, but there you go, Three Body.
I like the Netflix series. I don't have Prime anymore.
I thought the Netflix series was done really well, and it was really fun,
Yeah,
and I enjoyed
it
it.
was.
And then watching the Chinese version on Prime, I'm like, wow, this is way better. Yeah. So Three Body on Amazon Prime. It is a time commitment because each episode is over 40 minutes long, close to 50 minutes, and a couple episodes are about an hour. So
Yeah, but you could binge it in 24 hours thereabouts. I'll get started today.
you could. Yeah. You could.
Does that
And
math even work out? I'm not so
no.
sure.
No. It would take more than one day straight, but it would not take 2 days.
Okay, unless you watch it on 2x, maybe then.
If you watch it on 2x, but you're going to have to read really fast.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you speak Chinese.
If you speak Chinese, that would probably help. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So with that, it is time to wrap up. And this has been loads of fun. I've learned so much about aviation because I was here for the brief show. And Tom, Patrice, both of you came up with a lot of great show titles. So it was worth being here for that. And it's just been a fun time. I'm so glad we get to do this. So thank you. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. And Patrice, how about you?
Well, I'm here every week, almost, or at least almost every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. So tomorrow I will be talking with Jeff and I guess Chuck and Dave if they're there, and some other awesome people about Apple stuff that happened this week. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, gets you there. And as always, I'd like to mention Retro Rewatch, the show where Jeff and I talk about retro TV shows. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1, hence the hint earlier or the reference earlier. There will be a new episode coming out tomorrow, and as far as I remember, that should be neat. So you absolutely need to
Need.
watch that one and then listen to the episode. Yes, I know.
Awesome. It's I Patrice, I do
I
have a lot of
needed
fun
to
doing the
say
show. Yes. Yes, you
that.
needed to say that. Yes.
Yes. And if you're annoyed by that pun, then well, I'm sorry. If you listen to the show, there's more of that.
There is. Yes. Yep.
It's just.
All right.
How about
So,
you,
I guess
Jeff?
that
Yes.
Me, yes. Jay Gamut on the various social media platforms. I'm active right now on Mastodon, some on Blue Sky, and I'm doing more on PixelFed instead of Instagram. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And Patrice, just so you know, I did watch the next episode,
Ah, you're ahead of me one by one.
and so when we are ready to record, I do have thoughts.
Okay, good. Maybe I'll watch it tonight, then we can do that.
Okay, all right. So it's now really time to wrap up. Thank you again, both of you, for just being absolutely wonderful. I really, really enjoy getting to do this with both of you. Well, and everyone else that's part of the BTN family on the shows. And speaking of family, hey, all of you that watch and listen live, participate in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of that. All of you that watch or listen to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of that as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And speaking of those shows, everyone, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac show. I have a hunch there's something new for us to talk about. Don't forget to join us next Thursday again for the big show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.